Less than 2 weeks ago, a very famous Canadian died. He was iconic in Canada as a rock star, singer. His name was Gord Downie. He's only in his 50s, and he died on October the 17th. A year earlier, he had been diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. I'd never listened to any of his music. In fact, I didn't know him. But I understood that he was going to be performing his final concert about a year ago in August. This is his final concert. He went to his hometown, Kingston, Ontario. Thousands were there, including our Prime Minister. And it was televised live across the nation. Gord Downie's final concert. And so, statistics say that one-third of Canadians watched that final concert. I went to our basement and turned on the computer, and I was one of the 30% of Canadians who watched. I wanted to see who this man was. It was painful to watch. At intermission, he came out on the stage and he started screaming. And his face was wet with tears. And he screamed and screamed and screamed. No words, just screamed. It really bothered me. John Prine sent me another link. He was in Sarnia a few nights earlier. And I watched that concert until I couldn't watch it anymore, because his scream was more shrill and it was longer, more protracted, as he stood there in front of the audience and screamed and screamed. I had a hard time sleeping that night, thinking of a man diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. And I wondered, why was he screaming? I wonder if you were diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer, would you be screaming? Or would you be opening the Word of God and finding consolation and peace? So I spent about a day trying to track down Gord Downie, because I wanted to share something with him. Do you know any, what would a Christian want to perhaps share with Gord Downie? What do you think would have been helpful for Gord Downie to hear? So finally I tracked down a PO, a box number in downtown Toronto, and I wrote Gord Downie a letter. And I told him about God, who loved him, regardless of the songs that he sang and some of the blasphemies he uttered. God loved him immensely, infinitely. And I told him about the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross, and that he could face this monumental crisis in his life with peace and tranquility and comfort, because there is one who is willing to forgive all his sins, and he could have peace with God. I told him it wasn't about a church. I said, you never have to attend a church between now and your final day. Just in the privacy of your own room, you could drink in these good words about Jesus Christ. We're going to read them in Acts chapter 13. You've been hearing that question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? One thing to wonder what Gord Downie did with him. But when Mr. Usher was speaking this evening, did you do anything with Jesus? How long have you refused to allow him in? How many years have passed? And you have room for your friends? But what is it you have about Jesus Christ that you keep him out? Why? This would be a great Saturday evening if you just surrendered, yielded, and stopped trying to figure out everything and put all the pieces of the puzzle together. You could spend from now until you die and go into eternity and never be able to fit it all together. I have thought about it since I was saved, and I still cannot understand it. Why he ever loved me? Why precious blood flowed from the cross for a sinner like me? I can't understand it. But I accepted it. You haven't? Acts chapter 13. And the Apostle Paul, he's just been at Cyprus, a real place in the Mediterranean. And now he's moved on and he's in Pisidia, Antioch. And that's in modern-day Turkey. So when you open your Bible, you're talking about real places. They're not fiction, not fables. These are real places that are around today. Turkey. And Paul is in Turkey preaching. And verse 28, he says, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people." Verse 38. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, whom you've been hearing about, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Imagine Paul in Turkey and he's saying, "Let it be known to you, my friends, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things." So that's what I sent Gord Downie. Through this man, Mr. Downie, is the forgiveness of sins. Not through a church, not through a religion, but through this man. Well, he had about 13 months to consider this man. I have no idea how he spent his final few hours, but I will know this. I will never, as long as I live, unless I'm stricken with dementia, I will never forget his blood-curdling screams. And I thought, is he afraid to die? Are you? I'm not. I'm expecting to be home around Monday noon in Prince Edward Island. But if the plane crashes, it's okay. Send a sympathy card to my wife Joy and the kids. Pray for them. You don't have to say prayers for me. I'll be at home with the Lord. It's all looked after. When I was just 12 turning 13, through this man, I received the forgiveness of sins. I was thinking of the greatest 3 years in human history. The debate rages on by historians what were the best years in human history. I suppose it depends on what you define as best. What is best from your perspective? If you're into empire building, perhaps the Greeks or the Romans or the Babylonians or the great
British Victorian period upon which the sun never set on the empire, the United Kingdom Empire. Or intellectual ingenuity in inventions. I know we think we're super intelligent today and we're doing tremendous feats in medicine research and every other kind of research. But have you ever watched any of the videos on ancient civilizations? You ever spent an hour or 2 hours? People thousands of years ago. I don't know what the greatest 3 years in human history, what they would be when it comes to human inventions and intellectual ingenuity. Culture, if there's historians here, maybe the Renaissance period, maybe in art and music and literature and philosophy, maybe the 14th to 17th century. Industry, a lot of people talk about the Industrial Revolution. Amazing years of development. But you know what the three greatest years in human history were? You can differ with my take on this after the meeting. But here's what I would like to present to you this evening. The three greatest years in human history. The Roman Emperor Tiberius Caesar was reigning. And depending on the historians, maybe AD 26, on the banks of the Jordan, there was a young man in his just about 30 years of age. Oh, he didn't have a halo around his head. He was just dressed so simply. Maybe what the poor people in Nazareth wore. And he's there and he's publicly baptized. That's when God exclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The beginning of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, if it was from AD 26 to AD 30, maybe approximately 3.5 years. But what an amazing 3 years they were. His ways were so different. All the religious leaders, they would dress in their garbs and their sashes and their robes and their tunics and their turbans and their scarves and their colors. And they would walk the streets of Jerusalem and climb the steps with such dignity and some kind of a religious air about them. But this man walked humbly. No remarkable features distinguishing him from others. His ways were so different. His works were so different. Healings. What doctors could not do, this man did. And every day people were wowed. My, did you hear? Did you hear what happened this day? No. Well, just down the road, I heard it from reliable sources. Diseases that never have been cured in centuries. This man, he healed them. Blind people had their sight restored. Deaf people could hear. Amazing 3 years. His works, his wonders. He went to a wedding. They ran out of wine. He turned water into wine. I know we read these stories in the Bible and, okay, let's move on to the next one. But these were real happenings in real time. A gale was raging on the Sea of Galilee. The boats were battered by waves. And a young man in his 30s stands up from his sleep and he says, "Peace be still." And the waves stopped blowing and the wind ceased and the waves were calm. That's a better way of saying it. The waves were calm. Amazing. Imagine all the thousands of people. The time he had just like 5,000 men and then the women and all the children. And there were just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they just kept dispensing the food. No big 18-wheelers loaded with buns and everything else backed in. No, probably 10,000 people. And this young man in his 30s with no special halo around his head. And there he is in front of the multitudes, performing wonders. You ever thought about the crowds? They didn't have social media like today to draw crowds, saying everybody be there at 3 o'clock this afternoon. No way to broadcast it in social media. And yet thousands traveled the rough terrain. For what? To see a young man in his 30s. His ways were different. His works were different. He was performing wonders. Mark 3, some walked from Jerusalem to Capernaum. For Americans, that's probably around 60 miles. For Canadians in the audience, that's probably, I don't know, around 100 to 120 kilometers, something like that. And they walked. They didn't have scooters back then or fast-moving vehicles. What was it about them that compelled thousands to close their shops down in midday and all flock to hear him? His words were different. People listened and they said, never man spake like this man. They were impressed. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight and you've heard all these things and it means nothing to you? You say, I'd like to be saved, and yet when you hear about the Lord Jesus, it just goes in one ear and out the other. This man was uniquely different. His words were different. We only read about it once in Matthew 11, but there's nothing to say he didn't say it every time he met with people. In one way or another, he could have held out his arms and said, come on to me, all you that are burdened, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, laboring and stressed with all your religion, come on to me. I wonder, did he have a kind, gracious face? Was it a smile, inviting smile? Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. His words were different. And his world was so large that none were excluded. None. This man receives sinners. I'm one of the sinners he received. Are you? His world was so large. His welcome was for all. He did not discriminate against any. His heart beat with love for all. And he's aware of your presence in the meeting tonight, and his heart has not changed one little bit. As you've been hearing, he loves you. The greatest 3 years in human history. What were the 3 darkest hours of any day in history? Well, there was an eclipse this summer. I don't know whether any of you traveled to the states where it was most dark. Some striking pictures of lights on and the darkness of the eclipse. If you want to come to Prince Edward Island in 2024, Lord willing, we're going to have a total eclipse. And you're welcome to come. But darker than any eclipse, the darkest 3 hours of any day in history
Well, the entire day was dark. But there were 3 hours of that day that were very, very, very dark. Matthew 27 says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The greatest 3 years in human history, the darkest 3 hours of any day in history. The day when the Lord Jesus hung in shame upon a tree, crowned with thorns, silent in his agony, spit caked onto his face, beard pulled from his face, back beaten and bleeding, nails through his hands and through his feet. That's what we did to him. But those hours upon the cross, when the sun refused to shine, became so dark. Did you ever say, what was happening there? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 tells us, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. What was happening on the cross? Oh, how dark that day was when creatures took him and with their hands they beat his face. They spit in his face. They mocked him. They cursed his lovely name. They couldn't even stop and have sympathy as he hung upon the cross. Those who passed by, they railed on him, blasphemed him. The darkness of the human heart. But oh, there was another darkness. Isaiah wrote it and put it this way. The Lord God laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what was happening on the cross. The darkest hours ever. When my sins were placed on Jesus Christ. And God, who hated my sins, my sins were offensive and odious and obnoxious to God. And those sins that were such an offense to God, he placed on the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that we can't really fully explain. And then the judgment that should have fallen on Peter Ramsey. I stand by in those hours of darkness no human eye can see. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as a boy in my bedroom, I found out my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, some of you know the hymn, and believing, I go free. The darkest 3 hours of any day in history, when he was made sin for us. There would be no good news tonight if it hadn't have been for those 3 hours and that awful day on the cross. The longest 3 days of any time in history. Can you imagine what those 3 days might have been? Those whose lives he had changed, the likes of a Mary Magdalene, who was filled with unhappiness and discontentment and was tormented inside. And the day that she met the Lord Jesus, probably in the village of Magdala, on the banks and the side of the Sea of Galilee. And he changed her life. And now he's hanging
on a cross, dead. And others who loved him, they look and they say, he's a corpse. Took his body off the cross. And they put him into the cemetery, into the tomb. Their hopes were crushed. Their spirits were devastated. Their future fell apart. All our hopes were centered on Jesus. He changed our lives. He brought peace to our troubled hearts. He gave us hope for the future. But he's dead. 3 very long days, their dreams unraveled and crashed. You remember that morning, the heartbroken women go there, and the angels say, he is not here. He's risen. So what seemed like a very long 3 days, so sad, crushed and devastated, Mary Magdalene, she thinks it's just the gardener. She says, if you know where they've laid him, you tell me and I'll go and take him away. And this young man says, Mary. And she turns around and it was him, alive. And this man that was nailed to the cross, despised and rejected of men, upon whom the Lord laid all our sins. Christ died for our sins. He was raised again the 3rd day according to the scriptures. And it is through this man that is preached. We preach unto you the forgiveness of sins. Friend, as we close the meeting tonight, if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to be saved, if you want to have peace, we point you to this man. We preach to you this man, Jesus, this evening. This is a man we present to you. This is a man that we commend to you. This is a man that we pray tonight that you will receive into your life. Don't be like Pilate. He made the wrong choice. As we close this evening, I don't know in the words of 1 Peter 2:24. Couldn't you just drink it in? Like, what more do you think you're going to get? Just keep searching. Like, couldn't you just open your Bible and believe what God says? It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. How much sweeter and simpler could it be? 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Just rest on it. Close your Bible and say, thank you. Thank you for me. Lord Jesus, you died. Friend, that is salvation. Through this man, it's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins.